Now here's Michael Grady and Big Joe Stasniak on 1070 The Fan.
Grady and Big Joe show, 1070 The Fan. More of your film suggestions coming up. You mentioned Rubbers on Netflix. So that's terrific. On one night when I'm completely bored out of my mind, I may give it a couple minutes. See how that and then I have to report back. I'll get my Roger Ebert on. Joining us right now out of Sports Talk 1240 in New York. By the way, I'll get to that tweet in just a moment. This dude just did this tweet coming up in a moment. But Sports Talk 1240 in New York, Mike Silva joining us right now. Mike, how you doing?
Great. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Happy to have you on, my man. Could the Knicks actually be curious or serious about bringing in Meta World Peace once he clears waivers?
This talk about whether or not he'll clear waivers, and I think he will. And in the NBA, as I'm sure you guys know, players now dictate where they want to go. I know I hear, there's a lot of teams with cap room. That's true. The Knicks only have the vets minimum. And I call them Ron Artest because I went to St. John's, and that's what I remember. I actually was there. I remember Ron when he's at St. John's, so Meta World Peace is kind of hard for me to say. But when Ron was at his height, he was a New York guy. I think he's going to want to end his career in New York, and I have a feeling he'll force his way there unless something dramatically changes. And the fact that his father is somewhat on a PR campaign makes you think that that's what's going to happen.
And I'm all for, fairy tale endings and things like that, and, I'm going home and all, but how does he fit into the Knicks' plans? I mean, as far as what they want to do this upcoming season?
Look, they need guys that are going to spread the floor, going to be able to pop a three, which he can do, and they need more defense. They need better defense. They need players with that mindset. You saw they brought in Kenyon Martin late last year, and that certainly helped. But, and some of the fans at least think it's Mike Woodson and his defensive strategy that may be the problem. But they need more of those type of role players. I think they have enough offense. They certainly need a veteran presence. Now, whether or not Ron is going to be that kind of presence, a positive one, I mean, his concerns with him and – look, you were mentioning Twitter, I heard, before I got on. Him and J.R. Smith on Twitter together. At the very least, that's going to be entertaining. Even if they don't
those two together, period.
So that, it'll be fun. You guys saw it when the Knicks were playing in Indianapolis. There are some depth issues on this club, and Artest would address that, hopefully. And we'll see what happens. They're certainly not going to be able to claim him because they don't have cap room, and I think they'll only be looking to give him the vets minimum. But a lot could happen between now and then.
Mike, we're interested in Chris Copeland coming here and playing for the Pacers. What was the backstory there? Just not enough money to get him signed?
Yeah, well, it was interesting because they didn't have enough money with the new collective bargaining agreement. They have the mini mid-level exception, which was about $3.1 or $3.2 million. They needed to use some of that to re-sign Pablo Prigioni, the point guard, who had garnered some interest in a couple of teams in the league as well as Europe. With Jason Kidd retiring and going to coach the Nets, they needed a backup point guard. And I think Prigioni's a little underrated because he didn't play a lot of minutes, but when he did play, he was very effective. They could only offer Copeland $1.7 million. The Pacers came up with a multi-year deal worth $3 million per. And I think what was interesting is the Knicks never made an offer, and Copeland made it sound, and I don't know if this made its way out your part yet, but it sounded like he would have maybe taken less to stay in New York. I mean, Copeland is a guy that bounced around Europe, came into the summer league last year. Nobody knew about him, had a good summer league. It was the last cut in training camp. He was the last guy to make the team. And Mike Woodson really didn't play him until it was necessary due to injuries. And he turned out to be a really good shooter. And I think what you guys are getting is someone who could, spread the offense. The Pacers, look, when they had their bench come in, looked to struggle a little bit to score. He could certainly hit a three. He could hit threes at a 40-45% clip. He's got a great shot. The problem is he doesn't play defense, and the effort on defense was what came into question with Mike Woodson. And it sounded like when they went through some of the postmortem with Woodson about Copeland, he didn't seem too upset that he was gone. He's a great story. It's a story about perseverance, how he's going to fit into the Pacers' defensive-oriented team, and how Frank Vogel is going to like the fact that he does sometimes have his lapses defensively. remains to be seen, but certainly the Indiana could use a three-point shooter who could hit that high clip.
Mike Silva, Sports Radio 1240 in New York, joining us on the VIP hotline. We'll be talking to Copeland in about 30 minutes on the show. Let me throw a baseball one at you real quick. Derek Jeter gets a single early on in his game, his debut for the Yankees this season. Quad tightened up on him. Is he going to play today?
Still remains to be seen. Okay. He's going for MRI. As of now, I haven't heard anything about the results, but what's funny is the New York media is actually surprised that a 39-year-old shortstop coming off major surgery is injury-prone. I think there was a thought that Derek Jeter, I don't know if it was that he was a deity or he was supernatural. Maybe he's a vampire. We don't know it. But, you know, it's funny with Mariano and Pettit and Jeter, when they get hurt, it's like, oh, my God, they got hurt. Well, these guys have been playing since the mid-90s. These guys have been playing since Reggie Miller was on the court for Indiana. And that brings back memories of Knicks Pacers, you know, going back to what we were just talking
right.
about. And it's time. I mean, Pettit is shown a little slippage. Jeter's in denial sometimes about his mortality. And Rivera's obviously retiring at the end of the year. And when you rely on older players like the Yankees have, it eventually comes and catches up with them. They still have really good pitching. That'll keep them in the wild card hunt. But I think the bill has come due, and I think the Yankees are going to need to rebuild. And I'm skeptical whether Derek Jeter could play every day and stay healthy to play every day.
Mike, I'm interested. Yankee fans, what's the percentage that hope he gets a 100-game suspension after this whole Biogenesis thing?
A-Rod.
Or A-Rod. What did I say? I'm sorry.
You know, I think you hear them call up, and you hear a lot of the fans are done with A-Rod. They're tired of the drama. The organization certainly sounds like they're tired of the drama. They deny the conspiracy theories that they don't want him to come back because they want insurance to pay for the contract. They have $100 million out there that Hal Steinbrenner has this budget now that Yankees have never had before. So a lot of that 25 or so million allocated to A-Rod could certainly do good in spreading out a roster that's very thin on any offensive talent right now. I think they're done with A-Rod, but on the other hand, they actually need him. If you go and just go to Baseball Reference and look at the Yankees' offensive numbers outside of Robinson Cano, they're awful. So even a compromised A-Rod, who could probably put up a 750 OPS, I have my doubts because he's got two bad hips that he could do that. But if, let's say, he can, let's make believe for a minute, that would help them. I mean, that would certainly help them, and I think they would welcome that. Hold their nose, maybe, but welcome that because they still want to win.
Mike Silva, Sports Talk 1240 in New York. Good talking to you, my man. Thanks so much for your time.
Thanks so much. Appreciate it, guys.
You got appreciated. Mark James coming up, Chris Copeland after that.
And the Yankees right now, fourth place in the American League East, 6 games out behind Boston. They got some issues, some serious issues, and seriously, yeah. this whole Biogenesis thing is, you know, starting to heat up a little bit.
Yeah, well, we should get an answer on that as far as guys and suspensions and things like that next week.
Mm-hmm.
Next week
after the All-Star game. Interesting.
Dumbest tweet. Okay, this dude just did this on Winner of the Week. This was a few days ago. But as for this week is concerned, this guy is our Did This Dude Just Did This award recipient. Now, we've all been following what's going on with Aaron Hernandez. The story a few days ago, they got more information. Basically, an accomplice of Aaron Hernandez told somebody that, okay, dude. Told another guy that Aaron Hernandez admitted to killing Odin Lloyd. Okay? And this was, everybody was talking about this earlier in the week. Deion Lewis. You know who Deion Lewis is, Joe?
Barely.
He plays.
Only because of this story.
He's a running back for the Cleveland Browns. He tweeted after, you know, the media, ESPN all around this, talking about this. He tweeted, Aaron Hernandez homie snitched on him. LOL. Hashtag, your real friends. Tweeted, Aaron Hernandez homie snitched on him. LOL. Hashtag, your real friends.
LOL means?
Laugh out loud, Joe, really?
Wow.
Man, did this dude just did this?
Yeah, it stinks when somebody reports you for murder.
What?
How can you call him a homie?
Aaron Hernandez homie snitched on him. LOL.
Which is worse? The hashtag.
My goodness. I don't know.
Your real friends? Yeah, they you know.
He deleted it, but you know in the that once it's out there, it's out there. So you can delete it quick, but somebody saw it. It had 18 retweets and 13 favorites, just like that.
Wow.
Just like that. So you knew it's out there.
You know,
but I mean, I've seen some dumb tweets, but that might be right there at the top of the list.
Just like criminals that don't wear a belt, there's another advantage for the good guys. You can find, you know, guy trying to run away with his pants down to his knees, can't get away. Same thing. You can find stupidity everywhere, and you know a lot about these people that you'll start spending tickets on or buying their jerseys or doing this, that, and the other by just following them for, you know, a couple of days on Twitter.
Right. We still can't get you on Twitter, huh, Joe?
I would say so many stupid things.
But that's the fun. That's the beauty of it,
Joe. It's better to say nothing and appear stupid than open your mouth and leave no doubt.
Very good. Big wise Big Joe on the show. All right, we got Mark Jays coming up. Chris Copeland, all you want to know about Chris Copeland, he'll be he's expected to join us around 11:35 on the show, and I've been neglecting some of these some votes for horrible movies, so I'll get to some of these as well.
And I want to ask you, would you leave $77 million on the table to be with your family?
Oh, I know what you're talking about. I watched it last night, too. Yes, I would. Yes, I would. Talk about the hero with The Rock?
No, I'm talking to Ilya Kovalchuk. Who's with the dude with The Rock?
For those who saw the hero, I was watching late last night. I didn't get much sleep last night.
After Sharknado.
No,
could you go to sleep after Sharknado?
I celebrated 4 years last night with D yesterday.
Nice.
Yeah, so it was late night. So came back and watched some shows that were missed. But Hero was one, and a lady left 70 some million dollars so that she could stay in the game. She could have taken it and gone to her family.
Oh.
Isn't that coincidence? Who the hell are you talking about?
No, I'm talking about New Jersey Devils hockey player. Ilya Kovalchuk.
Okay.
No, this is I remember the story because back in 2010, he signed a 15-year, $100 million contract. And because of the lockout in hockey, he went back to Russia and just got back with the family and everybody around and everything. And so he comes back to play this year. His heart's not in it. He still has 12 years and $77 million on the contract. He says, nope, I'm retiring. I'm going to go back to Russia. He's going to play for a St. Petersburg team and give up the $77 million to just go back and be with his family in Russia.
Dave Chappelle is like, you idiot! Quick time out. We're back with James and your phone calls, emails, and more on The Fan.